Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
We lift your name. We lift your name. We lift your name. Open our eyes to truth. Lead us. Sort out the issues of our lives. Let the word that is coming today not come in just one direction. Let it come in every direction. That the sick will be healed. That the weak will be strengthened. Amen. So how many of you were blessed on Sunday by the teaching of Pastor Henna? Amen. I was blessed. I listened to the message. I was blessed. Praise God. So I'm continuing in the same topic that we were teaching. Praise the Lord. And we're talking about the laws of what? Of productivity, or the law of fruitfulness. Amen. And I told you last week when I taught that I'm looking at the principle or the law of sowing and reaping. Praise God. Hallelujah. The law of what? Sowing and what? Reaping. And I was looking at the principle of the seed. And I'm going to continue teaching today on the principle of the seed. So I want you to know that laws govern everything. Laws govern everything. Everything is governed by law. So I said, laws govern how many things? Everything. Praise the Lord. Laws govern everything. And I said something to us when I began to teach on the law of productivity. I said, once you put a law in motion, is that okay? You have lost your right to determine the outcome of that law. Amen? Praise God. Once you put a law in motion, what happens? You lose the right to determine the outcomes of the law that you have put in motion. Amen. We say in law that a man intends the natural consequences of his actions. That is that if you see somebody, is that right? And you take a gun and you shoot the person on the head and the person dies. You can't say, oh, I didn't mean to kill him. You could have shot him on the leg. You could have shot him on the hand. You get my point? But you shot him on the head. And you say, no, I didn't mean to. No, you mean to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You mean to. Because a man intends the natural consequences of his actions. Is that right? If you sleep with a woman and she gets pregnant, don't say, that wasn't my plan really. I wasn't planning like that. Bros. That is what the natural consequences of your action. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what did I say? A man, when I say a man, I mean a human being. Is that all right? intent, the law assumes that you intend the natural consequences of your action. If you put your hand, how many of you growing up put your hand inside socket, electric socket? How many of you? How many of you were just mild like that? I know Pastor Mao usually is not, I know that you're not usually very careless, but I know that maybe mistakenly your hand entered, mistakenly. How many of you did your hand mistakenly? You are normally very orderly, but somehow you put your hand inside socket with there was electricity in it. Praise God. How many of you, when you were putting it, you wanted to be shocked by the electricity? What did the electricity shock? Did it shock you? Did the electricity mean to shock you? No, but electricity produces. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's neither what you wanted or the plan of the. But since you activated a law, are you understanding what I'm saying? Even as the electricity is shocking you, if the electricity is a human being, it will be telling you sorry, but it will still be shocking you. Why? Because it is a law that you have activated. Are you getting my point? You know, nothing offends me like when nurses want to inject you. When nurses want to give you injection. They'll be telling you sorry and be still putting that needle into your body. So you say, how does the sorry stop my pain? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is that a law comes into effect. Please, I want you to understand this. That life is governed by laws. And if you understand the laws that govern life, are you hearing me? Your journey will be easy. Your journey will be easy. Your journey will be easy. There are laws that govern life. If you understand it and you put the law to action, the law will produce your expectations. Even if you don't know the outcome, if you engage the law, even if it is mistakenly, praise God. Laws, when something is a law or is a principle, is established by God. Listen to me. Once something becomes a law, it's established by God. If it's a law, it's established by God. And there are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. Praise God. There are natural laws and there are what? Spiritual laws. Now listen. Your responsibility is not to create the law. Your responsibility is to discover the law. The law is already in existence. Are you understanding me? The law is already in existence. Your job is to what? Discover it. So your whole life is actually a journey in discovering the laws of life. Let me tell you something. Everything that made you succeed was that you activated a law. Whether you knew it, whether you were conscious of it or not, you activated a law. And every time you also failed, you activated a law. Whether you knew it or you didn't know, praise God. How many of you have, I don't know what that law is, but I'm sure there is a law like that in physics. How many of you have ever sat down with two people on a bench and one was sitting on the edge of the bench? It's the law of equilibrium. How many of you have ever sat down on a bench, two people were sitting on a bench, one was sitting at the edge? It might have been you. Hallelujah. And the other person stood up. The person didn't intend you to follow. That was not his intention. And how many of you don't raise your hand, but how many of you fell? Just do like this. Praise God. And you fell. Praise God. And when you fell, were you happy? The first thing you would have said was, why did you do something like this? Do you know the funny part? You yourself may not even be conscious of the fact that that law was put, that the way you sat down, you were actually positioning yourself to be the recipient of a particular law. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, you can position yourself to be the recipient of a particular law. Amen. So your responsibility is to discover the law. Once you discover the law that governs a particular thing, you move into the next principle about law, and that is that laws are consistent. That means that I can always activate a particular law to produce a particular outcome. That every time I want a particular outcome, Godfather, are you in ministry class? You were posted to choir. Oh, Lord, my God. When I'm in awesome wonder. Please, I hope in that choir you are in the instrumentalist, you are in the technical area. Because we don't want you to drive this singing. Don't drive. Don't help us drive anything here. Because I'm just seeing some strange people in some strange locations. There's some ministry classes in effect. Praise God. I was looking at, I said, is it golfer? Is it no golfer? Is it golfer? Is it no golfer? I finally saw that it was him. God, ministry class can do wonders to people. You see, if you enter the law of ministry class, this is what happens to you. This is what happens to you. I saw somebody in choir. The person is in teenage class. Somebody, a member of choir is in teenage class. They go here preaching. These 3 weeks that they have, all of them will be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and sent into ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So, you don't create the law. Amen. You discover the law. You don't make it. You discover it. And once you discover it, it then means that it can be, you can determine how things are going to eventually turn out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because once you know the law, you can always put that law into practice in order to produce a result that you want. Amen. So I want to share a few things. I may repeat one or two things I have taught before, but let me share a few things here. Number one, concerning, I want to talk about the principle of the seed. So listen, every harvest begins with a seed. Every harvest begins with what? With a seed. If I want a harvest, praise God, I need to sow what? A seed. So Dr. Anna was teaching and said, he read the scripture in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and he says, but as long as the earth remaineth, seed, time, and harvest. So, he said, every time you sow a seed, you need some time, and then you come into a harvest. Praise God. So, listen, every time you want a harvest, don't worry about the harvest. Praise the Lord. Did you get that? Every time you want a harvest, what did I say? Don't worry about what? The harvest. What should you worry about? Seed. If you have seed and you're willing to sow your seed, you're going to end up with what? You're going to end up with a harvest. Amen? How many of you have thrown, maybe you washed tomatoes and then you threw out this thing, praise God. And then in a few weeks' time, what happens? It starts to sprout, praise God. You didn't even intend, that wasn't your intention. But you activated the law of harvest. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What did I say? You activated what? The law of harvest. A young man came to town just a few weeks ago. And I just received him. He was going to be around for a while. Young brother who was going to be around for a while. So I just said, Charity, let's prepare something, just something. I didn't know how long. I thought he was even staying for just a night. So I said, prepare something and let them take it for him, young minister. And so the young brother came to my office to greet me and just say, sir, I got your message. I'm so grateful and all of that. It wasn't really anything much. As he was walking out of my office, he said, sir, please tell your engineer to send me the cost for your windows and your POP. I activated a law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What did I say? I activated a law. In less than 1 week after I sent the message, I saw an alert. You know that kind of alert? You know that alert? Eh? No, how many of you? I saw one kind of alarm. That's not an alert. I saw alarm. And I was alarmed. Praise God. And the person said, please, sir, use this to put your windows and your distance. I activated a law. You know, in scripture, in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, Paul was writing, or whoever wrote Hebrews said, and do not forget to be hospitable to strangers. He said, for by so doing, many have received angels unknowingly. And I've taught you in this church that angels are not always something that has wings. Are you getting my point? I've told you that most of the time, angels are even people. That, are you hearing me? Because the Bible says, are they not ministering spirits sent to them who are heirs of salvation? Which means, if God sent me to you to deal with an issue in your life, actually what you received was an angel. Because the people that Abraham saw, that he received them, they didn't appear with wings. In fact, let me read that story very well. They were passing, they were going on their way. And he met them and said, guys, don't go. He said, come in. And it was not as if it was evening. In fact, the Bible clearly says it was in the afternoon. So if it was night and he met them at night and said, oh, it's late, come and stay. No, he just saw everyday normal people passing. And he walked up to them and said, it's hot. Why don't you come in and take a little refreshment? And the Bible says, and he went into his house and he took a cow for three people. He took a cow. Go and read it. He took a cow. And went in and told Sarah they should prepare the cow. That three people were passing around his house. Now listen to me. God had made a promise to Abraham 25 years ago that his wife was going to have a baby. Sir, upon the strength of that promise, the covenant was that, leave your father's house and everything and follow me and I will bless you. And I will make you the father of many nations. In other words, when Abraham was leaving his father's house, it was upon the strength that God will give him a child. That was the contract that Abraham was having with God. I want you to see. Abraham left, no baby. Abraham entered a covenant with God where Abraham saw some spiritual things happen. So many things happen, you know. Saw some visions, saw some dreams. You know, God told him, count the stars and everything. No baby, sir. There was nothing that did not happen between Abraham and God. There was no baby. But listen to me. The moment those men entered the house of Abraham and sat down and had lunch and they were about to go, then they said, where is Sarah, thy wife? It was not Abraham that brought Sarah for introduction. No. It was the men that said, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, she's his and their brother. And they said to her, by this time next year. So I want to ask a question. Was it that all the obediences of Abraham did not really have the power to activate that? No. On the road to that obedience, there was a particular trigger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That will eventually activate the promise of God. Yeah. Listen to me. Many people don't understand that sowing is a trigger. That means that God may make a promise to you, sir. But if you don't know how to trigger that promise, the promise will be hanging over your life. It's there, but a trigger is required. A trigger is required. That is why many people have been marking time in one place. Not because there's no promise over their life, but there's nothing to trigger it. There's nothing to trigger it. Listen, I'm telling you something. It's the reason why, listen, I want you to get this. Your seed is a trigger. Your seed is a trigger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A gun is loaded with bullets inside, sir. You can aim the gun at a particular, you know, target. If you don't pull the trigger, can the gun kill? The bullet inside, is it lethal, sir? If you don't pull that trigger, sir, the trigger is, the gun is as useless as a piece of wood in your hand. Go and check scripture. Every man that broke through something. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? You will see that this man triggered something. I'll show you something in scripture. So, every harvest begins with a seed. Every harvest begins with a seed. Every harvest begins with a seed. Number two, every seed will produce after its kind. Genesis 1:24. Every seed will produce after its kind. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. How? After his kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth. How? After his kind. And it was so. Every seed will produce after his kind. You can't plant mango and reap orange. No. Everything will produce after his kind. It will produce after his kind. So let me say something to many of you. Part of the reason why many people have not prospered is that the seed you are sowing will not produce prosperity. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That, listen, if you want to sow seeds, are you hearing me? You sow seed for what you are. Listen, it's a law. I read it for you last week. The Bible says that as a man, I read that scripture last week. I'm trying to remember. Whatsoever a man soweth, how shall he reap? Whatsoever a man soweth, what is he going to reap? That, the Bible says, God cannot be mocked. In other words, if you want to get something and you are sowing something else, you are trying to mock God. The meaning of that is that you are trying to mock the law of God. You are trying to do God 419. So scripture says God cannot be deceived. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? So every seed will produce after its kind. The quality of your seed determines what? The quality of your harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. The quality of your seed will determine the quality of your harvest. But this I say. He which soweth what? Sparingly. You know the word sparingly? He which is sowing to spare. That's my definition of it. You are sowing, but you are trying to also spare. Oh, he that soweth sparingly. How is he going to reap? Sparingly. So let me do a little drama for you. Because sir, it's a law. It has nothing with God to do with God inside. Can I have two protocol? Two protocol quickly. So I have this, right? Praise God. I don't know how to act drama. Protocol, you are too rigid. Relax. That drama we are acting. You are man. You are God. Is that okay? Now, God has put a law in motion. What is the name of the law? He that sows sparingly shall reap what? Sparingly. Are you getting me? Now, this is God. I am the angel that is in charge of ensuring that law happens. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me, thank you. Boy, put it in my hand. I'm the angel is in charge of ensuring that law happens. Now, this is more than this one, right? You are God. This man is looking for a bountiful harvest. He has this amount of seed in his hand. So he is supposed to sow that seed so that he can get bountiful harvest. Does God have the capacity for a bountiful harvest? Does this guy have enough seed for a bountiful harvest? Yes. Does he have enough seed for a bountiful harvest? Does God have enough to create a bountiful harvest? Okay, now. Sow sparingly. Sow now, sparingly. You know what it means to sow sparingly? No, that's not how to sow sparingly. Let me show you. You have all of this, right? You want to now sow. You are not doing like this. Every time you are sowing sparingly, this is how you are in the spirit. Project and programs. I can sow all of this, but just Kabasu Christ that I make, they'll be sending you text message now. You are sowing sparingly. When God comes to reward that sparing giving, come, you are God. You can give everything. Try to give him everything. You are God. You don't have a problem. Try and give him everything. The angel will remind God, when this man, the law he activated was not the law of great harvest. Even though you could do it for him, you cannot do it for him because your word says he that sows sparingly. So even though God desires to do it, the law, are you hearing what I'm saying? The law that, no, somebody who instituted the law, God. Listen to me, God cannot break his word concerning you. You activated sparing. You sowed sparingly. You must of a necessity reap sparingly. Let nobody deceive you with any teaching of grace, according to the teaching of Dr. Henna on Sunday. Let nobody deceive you about the teaching of grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The same where they are reading grace is the one that says he that soweth sparingly. How is he going to reap sparingly? God taught me something when I was a young pastor, I was serving. You know, the people, let me tell you something, the people that is easiest for them not to give is pastors. Pastors are some of the people that don't give. But not these pastors. I'm assuring you that not these pastors. Some of these pastors, let me give you an example so that you don't think I'm just talking. I think that this is the second year. Most of the buses, you see our buses, we have like 6 trips of buses going and coming. Most of the trips of buses that you see, like 95%, one pastor pays it every Sunday. 95% of the money of the bus trips to go and bring students is one person that takes the bill. The funny part of it is that I don't even know. Sometimes I have to remember that, how did the bus go? How did the bus come back? Who paid for fuel? And they did 6 trips. Somebody is paying it. I'm telling you. So when I say not these pastors, I know what I'm talking to you about. There are pastors I've had to call and say, I've seen your giving and I know your income and I know that you can't, I don't want you to stress. I don't want you to come under condemnation based on your income and what you want to give. I'm not sure you can be able to meet it up. I am telling you, not these pastors. Not these pastors. But I'm telling you something, that as a pastor, I know that many pastors don't give. They are not givers. One day, when I was associate pastor, especially associate ministers, one day, when I was pastoring, the Lord met me. I can't remember that. The Lord said to me, if you give graciously, I will bless you graciously. This giving, the kind you are doing, come on, you don't, as if you want to do. How many of you have seen where they make Danwake before? They take the mold in their hand. Then they are cutting it like this. Have you seen it before? The Lord told me, if you decide this, that's how your giving life is going to be. That's how your blessing is also going to be. Some people, that's how they do with God. That's how they do with God. Let me tell you something. That thing you think is wisdom is not wisdom. It's actually foolishness. You think you are prospering. So let me explain to you that where God wants you to be is greater than where you are. What is keeping you where you are is that idea, that thing you are doing. That sparingly that you are doing is the reason why you are. You're where you are. That in God, in the plan of God, where you are supposed to be is greater than where you are today. Thank you, guys. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. The quality of your seed determines the quality of your harvest. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. Somebody give us Genesis chapter 2. Sorry, Genesis chapter 4 verse 2. Genesis 4 2. Genesis 4 2. And she said again, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Yes? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Yes. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. I want you to look at, so let me finish reading when we come back. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Yes. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. So let's go back to verse 3. Let's go back to verse 3. In simply saying that Cain and Abel gave an offering. And God received the offering of Abel, but rejected the offering of Cain. So what was it that made God reject the offering of Cain? Are you understanding me? So let's look at it. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Hold it. Look at the description. And it came to pass, and Cain brought an offering, what? Of the fruit of the ground. That was all we heard about the nature of Cain's offering. But let's go to verse 4, and let's look at the nature of Abel's offering. And Abel, he also brought what? Of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. So let me explain to you what happened. What happened was that many people said, it was because he brought fruit. God does not eat vegetables. It's not true. That is not it. Let me explain to you what happened. Cain woke up in the morning. Are you hearing me? Cain woke up in the morning and just went to his farm. And whatever he saw was what he picked and brought as an offering. Let me show you what protocol, all of you, let me show you what Abel did. If you read the New King James, he said he brought the first and the fattest. So this is what he did. Line up and face me. So this was, straight line. So this was what he did. Abel came and looked at his flock. Are you hearing me? Cain entered his farm and picked whatever he found. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when it was time for Abel to give the offering, Abel came and looked, Abel came and took a good look. What is your post problem? You're saying African woman, something to hold. You are playing. You don't know the will of God. Are you hearing me? So when Abel came, the Bible says he took what? The firstlings. That means he didn't take the one we don't suffer. He took one that was what? Fresh. Are you hearing me? The one that was fresh. And it was not only that it was fresh, but he took what? Of the fatlings. The ones that was, are you getting me? The one that was endowed. Are you hearing me? Now listen to me. It means that he was careful when he came. He saw this one. This one is fat, in quotes, muzzle. Is that right? But you know fresh. Then you know qualify. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He looked at another one. He said, Jesus is Lord. You are blessed with all heavenly blessings, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? That was how he kept picking until he found the one that had all the qualities he was looking for. Then he said, that is the one that is the offering. So which means God was looking at the quality of the offering. So God looks at the quality of what you bring before him. Thank you, guys. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God looks at what? At the quality of what you bring before him. You know, there are a lot of people, man of God, that when they want to bring an offering to the Lord, let me tell you something. Let me say this. I heard something that blessed me. How many of you know the Bible? So all of you are supposed to know the Bible. All right. How many of you know the last book in the Old Testament? The last book in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi, right? Now, how many of you know that between Malachi and Matthew or Mark, there are 400 years. That in the 400 years, God was silent over Israel. God didn't speak. Do you know why God didn't speak? God was offended with the children of Israel about the offerings they bring to him. So listen. I sat down, I was wondering. So of all the sin these people were committing, they were worshiping idol. Are you hearing me? They were doing, listen to me. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's better not to give God a certain kind of offering than to give him an offensive offering. No, you didn't hear what I said. I said sometimes it's better not to give God a certain kind. Now, let me qualify that statement. I didn't say it was all that you have. The woman in the temple that brought the mite. Is that okay? When Jesus said well done to her, Jesus was not saying well done to her based on the amount of what she brought. Jesus was saying well done to her based on the amount of what she had left. So Jesus said, he asked his disciples, he said, who brought the most offering? Praise God. I want you, gather your offering envelopes if you have not put money inside. Gather your offering envelope, give somebody here. All of you, gather your offering envelope. Three of you here, gather your offering envelope, give it to Rukaya. And Jesus came to the temple and sat down. I think we need to be employing that kind of thing. I need to be coming here. All right, bring all the offering. Rukaya, bring all this thing you have. So come. So Jesus was sitting down. This is the offering basket. Just this is how, you know, those people who say my left hand must not know. I want to show you how offering was collected. Jesus sat here. The offering basket was here. Jesus was looking at the offering. How many do you have in your hand? Count. How many do you have? Count. How many do you have in your hand? You have 3 offering envelopes. How many offering envelopes do you have here? You have 10 offering envelopes, right? Now listen. You are about to give an offering. Are you hearing me? Drop 5 of your offering envelope. You drop 2 of your offering envelope. How much does this guy have left? Drop. How much does this girl have left? How many did she give? How many did he give? In terms of number, who gave more? In terms of loss, who lost more? So when you give, you can take it. Thank you, guys. When you give, God doesn't look at what you gave. God looks at what you left. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you are giving, and pastor is clapping for you, Akunfi, Kai, thank you so much. Oh, you gave us 1 million naira. God is looking at the pastor and saying, Say, if you knew Akunfi's account, you are me. I only know what you gave, but God is looking at what you could have given, what you had the opportunity to give, what you had the capacity to give. Can I teach you something? Every time you give, don't give unto a man. Give it unto God. If you read our confession, we say, Jesus is my high priest. I bring my tithes and offerings to him. He's the one. I'm going to teach on the tithe. Listen to me. God is the one that is receiving the offerings. And the one that is receiving the offerings is looking at the one that you left. So Jesus said, these men, out of their abundance, they have brought. But this woman, out of the little that she had, she brought this much. That is how God measures the quality of your giving. Don't ever, and so that sometimes we clap for people who seem to give what we consider as much. But heaven is not clapping for them. Because heaven is knowing. So heaven knows that it was not a sacrifice. And can I tell you something? Heaven does not receive anything that is not a sacrifice. That is why David said, I will not give the Lord something that cost me nothing. In other words, every time I come before God, let the thing that I am giving be something that cost me something. Oh God. I've seen things. I've seen people give offering with tears. And I'm praying, listen to me. And the Bible calls it a grace in the book of Corinthians. Paul said, you've been that you abound in all of these things. He said, abound in this grace also. I've seen people remove their wristwatch and drop it as an offering. They didn't have an offering. The only thing that was valuable with them was their wristwatch. I know of a day that somebody in this church gave his car with tears. He was giving the car and crying. Then I remember the scripture. The Bible says that they that carry precious seed, they that go crying, carrying precious seed, the Bible says God has sworn, they will doubtless return. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Bringing the sheaves with them. You know how we give, sir? We settle all of our problems. We settle school fees. We settle house rent. We settle one of something. Then we look, what is it? Whatever is remaining, that's when we remember God. The Bible says, honor the Lord with the first fruit of thine increase. Is that right? In other words, if it is not first, then it is not honorable before the Lord. People sort out their lives, then they remember God. In fact, sir, let me tell you. People, let me tell you something. If God was going to judge men, something will happen. See, men come to church. There are many people right now. There are people who came here. They didn't plan offering. They will remember that there is offering. When somebody gets off stage and says, it's time for offering. Then they start doing like this. What is available? What is available? Let me tell you something. That kind of offering is dishonorable to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I told you last week that I had a meeting I had a meeting with the deputy governor. Sir, do you know that meeting, I'm supposed to meet him with a couple of people. That meeting, I have been preparing for that meeting for almost 3 months. That meeting, him, human being. Which kind of gift will I carry? Is this honorable? Is this not honorable? They did a first set of things I was to take with me. I rejected everything. We spent money to do it. When I came and saw what was done, I rejected everything. I said, this is not honorable for this kind of people that I'm going to go and see. Repeat the gift all over again. And that was a human being, sir. That's a human being. And people come, people will come to church. It's when it's time for offering. Then they'll just, what do I have there? It would be funny, but then, please, do you have 59 debt? 59. Hallelujah. Your seed is anything of value that God has put in your hand that has the capacity to produce a harvest. Your seed is anything valuable that God has put in your hand that has the capacity to produce a harvest. So Genesis chapter 4 verse 2. Genesis 4, 2. We read it. We said, let them produce after their kind. Acts chapter 4. This evening. And then we round up. Acts chapter 4 verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Look at your neighbor. Tell him that your house is a seed. Your house is a seed. Your house can be a seed. Yes. 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 Let me tell you something. You know, I heard Dr. Enas teaching that all those people are teaching grace. Let me tell you, this is what is called graceful giving. You want to do grace, Abby? You don't want to pay tithe. You're in the season of grace. This is graceful giving. Tell your neighbor, this is how grace gives. This New Testament giving. For as many as were possessors of what? You don't want to say it. Ask your neighbor, do you have land? Tell him we need it too. We need, there are some things we need that your land. Praise God. As many as were possessors of what? Not the land you collected from somebody. As many as were possessors of land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that, where is Rebo? That means that, Rebo, why are you now? Come out if I call your name. That means that part of the things we should be seeing in offering basket are land titles. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying. The word possessor is a legal statement. Am I correct? Rabbo? Which means that when the Bible says that many were possessors, that when we are counting offering, we should see somebody dropped his COFO in offering.
And you are coming into that grace. It looks very hard. It looks something like it's far, but it is not far. I say it's not far. Somebody should be able to come and say, Pastor, I don't have cash for us to finish this roofing, but I have one piece of land over there. Let's take it, sell it, whatever is the value, finish it with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a level that you come to in God. And let me say something. It should be a level you should desire to come into. By the time you arrive there, it means that there is nothing of this world that is holding you, sir. Listen to me. The man that did it didn't have three heads. It was just that. I'm teaching something. I don't know how many of you are following the teaching I'm doing on life. I said when a person is growing up, one of the signs that a person is growing are the things the person is willing to walk away from. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. So a sign of maturity in God is that I can also walk away from the things that look seemingly valuable. So as many as were possessors of what? Of lands or houses. What did they do? They sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. It was the reason why God judged Sapphira and Ananias. If you read it well, sir, it is in the next chapter that their story comes up. Let's read verse 35. And laid them down, what? At the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Yes? Let's go, media. And Joseph, who by the apostles was so named Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Stop there. Let me share something with you. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Let me share something with you. This man, they call Joseph. Are you hearing me? The Bible says he's a Levite. Glory. Gloria. And let me explain something to you. He was what? A Levite. In other words, as far as the Old Testament was concerned, this man was the man that was supposed to be receiving the tithes and offering. But when you come to the New Testament, the order changes. It is the apostles that are receiving the tithe and offering. So the man that was a Levite, sir, there are two things I want to show you. That's the first one I want to show you. That when you come to New Testament, the person that receives it are people that stand in the fivefold office. Are you seeing the switch? This next thing I want to show you, sir. His name was called what? The son of consolation. Sir, he was called son of consolation, not on the day that he brought this. It means that the order of his life, sir, was that consistently, when there was need in the house, he had consoled the apostles and the work of the ministry by his giving. That means that he was a man that stood up every time there was a need and said, you can take that and handle the situation. You can take that and handle the situation. It got to a point where they had to change his name. What you understand as his name was actually a nickname. The nickname was the man of consolation. May God raise men of consolation. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you this. Many times, it is the absence of this kind of people within the body of Christ that causes every assembly to struggle. There are things that should never be an announcement. There are things that should never be discussed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the issue is that men should have not risen up. Sir, he could have stayed in his office as a Levite and would have been receiving. And if he had done that within the jurisdiction of the old covenant, it would have been proper. And by the way, we are talking about something that was happening a few years after that old covenant had been annulled, not today. And yet, this man had grown. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And has arrived at the point that it has become known as part of him that this is the man that consoles the body. So it was here that Ananias and Sapphira got the idea that we are going to do also what this man is doing in the next chapter. But if you read back a verse back, verse 35, the Bible says, and they brought the price of what they sold. Read verse 35. And they brought the price of what they sold. Is it 35 or 34? And they brought the price of what they sold. But when Ananias and Sapphira went, listen to me, let me help you understand. This thing we are teaching, it looks very far, but it's not very far. You said you paid tithe. Your salary was 50,000. So when you were paying tithe, you brought 5,000, which is the tithe of 50,000. But you forgot to bring the tithe of the gift your uncle sent to you. And the 35,000 your uncle sent to you, you didn't bring that tithe. Eh? You went for training. They dash you people. They gave you allowance. They gave you allowance, daily allowance. You didn't bring that tithe. And the Bible says, bring ye all the tithe into my house. It didn't say bring part of the tithe. And the angel, instead of collecting tithe, is looking at you. Okay. So you're wondering, is the reason why people get offended, sir? They say we should give. They say we should do this. I did all of it and I was not blessed. The law is saying, you didn't follow the law as you should follow the law. And there's no partial obedience. I told you that there is seven dimensions of obedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When people obey God partially. Amen. Your seed is anything of value. So your land is valuable, sir. It's a seed. Your house is valuable. It's a seed. Your car is valuable. It's a seed. Your shoe is valuable. It's a seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Yes. 2 Kings, so is it 1 Kings chapter 17? We meet the woman, the widow of Zarephath. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The woman of Zarephath. She said, this is all that we have. We are going to go and gather some sticks and cook it. Can I have it? It's chapter 17. There's something I want to show you there. Chapter 17, give me verse 15. I want you to hear the response of the prophet. Chapter 17, give me verse. And she went out. And how did she do, sir? According to the saying of Elijah. So this is my concern, sir. Mama, come. So you know what happened? She went. This is the prophet. So she went, prepared everything that she had in her house. Are you hearing me? So I'm your son. We have not eaten since morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe we have not even eaten since yesterday. Mommy has been managing this flour small by small. So we have been doing 0, 1, 0. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The last one that we were going to eat, and after we eat, we'll die. The prophet said, bring it. So just imagine, sir. You know my concern, it was not the woman. It was the son that followed his mother to come and give the prophet the last one, collect. And the prophet stood in the face of me and the woman and was eating it. It is, sir. Do you know that? Let me tell you, sir. Do you know? This is where unbelief enters. Because the prophet did not release the blessing until he finished eating. The boy could have walked away and said, from today, I'm not a believer again. Well, I'm not a Christian. I saw how a prophet ate the last that my mother had. Have you not heard people say it? That we gave everything that we had. Sir, they didn't hear the end of the story. The woman stood, and then the prophet looked at the woman, and he said, what is this? And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did it. No, go back, please, go back. Give me verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, what? Fear not. Go and do as thou hast what? Said. But make me thereof a little cake. Who was the person that ate first? The woman had already told you that what we had is little. What is the little you want from the little that we have? And bring it unto me. And after. No, which kind of prophet is this? Look at the specific. Thank you, ma. Look at how specific the instruction was. And after, make for thee and for thy son. She has told you that there is not enough for me and for my son. What are you trying to say? That after you have eaten, then I will make for you and your son. That begins to tell you there was something Elijah saw that she didn't see. And is anybody hearing what I'm saying? There was something Elijah saw that she didn't see. And the first time Elijah gave her the instruction, you know, she complained. But the second time Elijah gave her the instruction, she did not complain. Which means at that point, she arrived at seeing what Elijah was seeing. Because faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. Next verse, media. Oof, who is there? For thus said the Lord, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain
upon the earth. Sir, it means that when this woman was fetching, that barrel of meal never finished. No, you didn't hear what I said. Every time she went to fetch, are you hearing me? If there was only five cups of rice, every time she fetched one, God replaced it. So every time she fetched one, God replaced it. If she fetched 20 cups in a day, there will always be 5 cups left in that place. So it never ceased. I'm praying for somebody tonight that upon the strength of every obedience in this house, that the barrel of meal in your house shall not cease. I said that the barrel of meal shall not cease. In the name of Jesus. He said, and the cruse of oil until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the land. I want to ask you a question. What kind of economics can produce that? What nature of investment can bring that? Hallelujah. Let me close with this. The time of sowing determines the time of reaping. The Lord taught me this in a marvelous way, man of God. And it was not about giving that the Lord taught me. There was an issue the Lord wanted me to... I felt the Lord was leading me to pray about. I delayed praying the matter for almost 2 weeks. Not that I intentionally delayed. It was just that I didn't feel the urgency to pray about it. Then 2 weeks later, I started praying about it. While I was praying, the Lord told me, you have delayed your harvest. He said, if you had prayed this thing 2 weeks ago, the answer would have come earlier than this. That does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? If I am hungry, are you hearing me? If I'm hungry now, and I said to somebody, and I said to a protocol officer, please go get me food. You probably will come back before the service is over, isn't it? But if I had told you after the service, go and bring me food, I would. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The time of your sowing determines the time of your harvest. Do you know the meaning of that? That means that you must never wait for conditions to be right before you sow. Because every time you wait for right conditions, what you actually did was that you delayed your harvest. Every time you waited for right conditions, the meaning of it was that you delayed the harvest that was to come into your life. And let me say this. May you not miss your season of sowing. Because the problem is not only that there is the time of your sowing determines the time of your harvest. It also means that when you don't sow, when you don't sow within the season of sowing, are you hearing me? Your harvest may not even come. So let me give you an example. The rains are falling now, right? What's the best time to plant? Now. Now. Can I say, the man that planted last month and the man that is planting this month, are they going to reap at the same time? Let me ask you a question. Have you not gone out and seen people eating fresh corn? I hope you know there's fresh corn. But have you noticed that almost everywhere around this place, the head of the corn has not even started coming out yet? What is happening is that where some people have harvested, have sown earlier. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Some people are already reaping some people are already reaping the harvest of what has been sown. Some people are just trying to sow. And you know what's happening, sir? Some people will have double harvest. Because the people that sowed much earlier will join these people to... Oh, anybody getting what I'm trying to say tonight? So let me tell you something. The reason why some people seem to prosper more than other people is that they've sown early. But they didn't stop sowing. They sowed, they harvested, they went back and sowed. So... is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And do you know something? No matter how well you sow in a season that is not a sowing season, the quality of your harvest cannot be like the quality of a harvest of the man that is sowing in the season of sowing. So listen to me. Understand when there is when you are in a season to sow. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 3 will say to you, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. In other words, if you miss your moment of sowing, listen to me.
Listen to me. If you are, and let me share, let me just teach you this. I hope it will bless somebody. Listen to me. If you are in a meeting, right? If you are in a meeting, you are in a place. And that's happened to me many times. Let me tell you this. I'll share this testimony with you. Many years ago, I did not know Dr. Panam. And I was in a meeting. A friend of mine held a meeting. And of course, all of us know him by name, but I had not met him. So I was in a meeting in Otukpo. A friend of mine had a meeting in Otukpo. And I went for the meeting. And I was probably like the only senior minister apart from Dr. Panam that went for the meeting. So my friend was hosting. So we were the three senior ministers on stage. Are you hearing me? So my friend was over there. Dr. Panam was in the center. I was on the side of Dr. Panam. And we just greeted with him. While we were greeting with him, the Lord dropped a word in my heart. He said, one day this man will minister for you. The moment I heard it, I told you something. I never do anything until I have sown a seed and I've prayed about it. I called the brother who was with me. I told him, and I was just serving. I said, I told him, go. Withdraw so so amount. I cannot remember. I emptied my account. I gave my ATM. He went. I took this thing. Dr. Panam was going out. The meeting ended. Dr. Panam was going out. And I said to him, I said, sir, because I was being careful, I said, sir, can I sow a seed? He said, yes, give it to my assistant. I took the seed and gave it to his assistant. Many years later, the Lord told me, I think it was second 360, the Lord said, it's time to bring Dr. Panam. I went to just to bring Dr. Panam. Let me tell you something that happened. When I went to just to invite him, I entered the sitting room and we were talking. And he said to me, somebody came from Gombe to invite me. Somebody has already come to invite me to Gombe. So I said, oh, I didn't know. So I said, okay, sir, maybe we'll make it next time. He said, what is your date? I told him my date. He said, ah, your date is after the person's own. I said, no problem, sir. We'll look at another time. Because I didn't want to say we'll look at another time. And then he gave me the details of the person and everything. And it obviously looked on the outside that the person who invited him was a bigger person than me. So on the strength of that, I left the matter. I went out, I was leaving. Then Panam's boys went after me. I said, sir, when is the date of your meeting? I told them. They said, sir, we are coming for your meeting. They said, we are coming for your meeting. That was how they canceled that person's meeting. Are you hearing me? If God didn't even help me to manage it, it would have even created some problem between myself and this particular person. That was how they canceled that person's meeting. And let me tell you, the day as I was leaving the place, I knew he was going to come, but I couldn't say it. The guys followed me. They said, we are coming for your meeting. Don't worry. Let me tell you, as I was walking, the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, I told you that this man will come for your meeting. It was a seed I sowed. It was not money. It was not power. If it was money, power, and every other privilege, somebody had gone ahead of me. Somebody that seemingly was... Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Dr. Panam came, Dr. Panam told me, he said, the last time I came to Gombe was 15 years ago. I don't... See, the only funny thing was that when I met him, he said to me, how is it like we've met before? We actually met... We met in the spirit. My seed kissed the earth of his life. We met. Now, let me tell you this. You know that opposition to this kind of gospel makes it difficult for pastors to actually teach you these realities. But you know the part that pains me is that they themselves, they live these realities. So who is the one that is losing? The members are losing. You don't know the kind of boldness it takes for a pastor to face you in the church of today and teach on giving and seeding. Let me tell you, I told people last Sunday, the breakthroughs our fathers that taught us this are having, are we having it in this generation? We're not having it. Shouldn't we sit down and say something is wrong with our theology? That's the first thing that should become our problem. We should be telling ourselves something is wrong with, there's something we're missing. We are raising a generation of Aluta. You say Gen Z, it's not Gen Z. It's rebellion. It's rebellion. Let me tell you something. One of the first things that God will deal with in your life, if he is going to use you, is that God must destroy your connection with your stomach. And when I say with your stomach, what I mean is that the need of your life. The first temptation Jesus faced was, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread.
Say, in the last days, people shall be lovers of themselves. And you know what that is doing? It's killing the prosperity of this generation. Because of your own, you can do nothing. Of your own, you can do nothing. You don't prosper. You don't prosper by wayo. There's a video I will show you on Sunday. There's a video I downloaded. I'll show you. I intend to show it on Sunday. You don't prosper by wayo. It's not wisdom. Baba Sir and Kabeni. It's not your. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? You know, all these people who are saving, who are planning. I was talking with somebody. I think it was John. I think it was you we're talking with. I was talking with you. Then I was reading a book. A book of one of major billionaires in this world. I just shared the idea with him. I was reading. He was driving. I was reading. So we were just talking. Then I opened a fresh chapter in the book. It was what I was telling him that the man was writing. I said to him, nobody ever blew because he planned to. Nobody ever became anything because he planned he was going to become that thing. Nobody. So all this you are saving, you are, is good or save. But when the time to sow comes, keep your saving plans aside. I'm telling you, if not, you go mark time. Do all this. Are you hearing me? But when the time comes, are you hearing what I'm saying? Keep that thing aside. There is something God is calling you to a harvest that your eye cannot see. Can I say something to you? Maybe the breakthrough of that business you are doing is a seed. Now, I am very cautious of how dangerous it is to teach this in today's church. But I'm trying to show you something. Because except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, what happens? It abides how? Alone. In other words, the reason why something in your life is in the state it is that something has not died to make that into comfort in multiples of what it's supposed to be. Your next season of harvest is tied up in a seed that is in your hand. It's tied up in a seed that is in your hand. It's tied up in a seed that is in your hand. Don't ever play with your seed. The woman, the Shunammite woman, sir, she said, I perceive this man is a prophet. Let us build a room, put a table. And that's all, sir. How much is that? Let's put a light and a table for him and a bed so that when he passes by, he will stop over. That woman had been barren for how many years? Sir, this thing happened to me life. The sister in this church, I will not call the name of the sister. It happened to me life. When we first came to town, I was looking for a place where I could go and pray. I wanted to go on retreat. I didn't have money. So I was looking for a house there. So they were just married and they had a room in their house. And we're not really that close, but I wanted to go and pray. So I spoke to her. I said, tell your husband, who is not always resident. I said, tell your husband if I could come. And I went to visit them one day. So they just built their house and they showed me that they had an extra room. So when I was thinking, where can I go? She showed me a room. I will never forget, sir. The first day I was there, first night I was there. You're just there. So I said, let me just hang around just with the woman and everything. Then go to my room around 10. I went into my room. Then the woman came and knocked. When she knocked, I said, come in. She stood at the door. She opened the door. And she stood there. And she said, sir, there are some concerns I have, some family issues. I said, okay. She had written it on a paper. Then she stood by the door, knelt down and gave me to me. She said, I want to pray for you. So she knelt down by the door and I prayed for her. That was how the first child came. I had literally the Shunammite woman experience. We don't know how many years they've been married. Then he said to the priest, what this woman, what should be done for her? Let me tell you, there's something you do, right?
that God will be looking for. What can I do for you? What is it that, what can I do for you? You know, in response of the human, I don't have any problem. I live in the midst. All of my need is met. He said, you don't have a baby. It was that the woman had come to a point, she has given up on ever having a child. Say, you don't have a baby. The woman said, please, man of God, don't deceive me. I have come to a place, I've accepted this reality. I don't want you to raise something, a hope in my heart that is not going to be. He said to her, by the time of life next year, by the time of life next year, that is that there's a harvest, sir, that your seed provokes, that you were not even expecting, you didn't look for it, you are not planning for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That by reason, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light. Let light come into our hearts and spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because the stronghold is broken, the door is opened, the next dimension is open, the next level is open, the next realm is entered into. I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.